Blog Talk Radio.
Hotep family, welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiika 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. I am your advocate, I am your advisor, and I am your Maliwa, your mother too. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. We are still in the festive celebration stage, and I don't want to take you out of that stage, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a lot to celebrate, and we have a lot to be thankful for. But at the same time, we know we have to discuss business and we have to address the problems that beset us. And I'd like for you just to come in and join us this evening and lock your dial in at 646-478-0270. And for those listening audience out there, don't just be an outstanding listener perpetrating. Come on in and join us. Our chat rooms are now open. And I've also been soliciting for a co-host. Now, if you're out there and if our topics agree with your opinion and you'd like to be a part of the co-hosting evening, I'd like to invite you and I solicit for those people who would like to come in and to manage our chat room. Periodically, we get people in that take the role of managing, and I appreciate that. I want to tell you, I really appreciate the family so much and the tribe. I want to thank you for being a part of our establishment. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been off for a while, and I've had to tend to a few things. There has been some crisis in the family, and we had to go and look into those issues. So I had to support some other people for a while. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very hard when you walk into a situation and you're trying to support someone and you're trying to do things right. We know that when you attempt to do something, one or more heads is better than one. But it's also very good to be organized and to know exactly what you want. And when you go in to help someone, you really don't have a lot of time to waste. So you want your voice to be heard and you want to be able to contribute something worthwhile. However, as I talked to you earlier, I told you that there was a crisis going on, and some dates you might want to remember and put on your calendar. December 31st is a date that you want to remember as the last day for our banks to be insured by the federal government. January 1st is another date, and that date is a day that they will possibly implement a lot of procedures. A lot of things are happening, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're in the room, children, and if you don't want your children to be a part of this parent, you might want to remove them from the room because this topic is really for adults. However, I will be reading a short story near the end. And if you want to bring them back, then that's fine. January 1st of next year is a date you want to remember also. There's a lot of subsidies that will be cut, and parents should be alert. There was a raise given for Social Security this year, and some people may have received their letters already informing them of the increase, which is a great thing. We want to thank our government for that increase because we certainly needed it. Now, periodically after that raise next year, the documentation is indicating that there will be cuts on Social Security, not one cut, but consecutively three cuts in 3 years, that there will be reductions of the ends of the Social Security. And for some of you, that's SSI, and for others, it's SSA. Now, you don't want to be alarmed, but you want to be informed, ladies and gentlemen, especially about your money. I mean, I don't know about you, but when it comes to filthy lucre and when you're ready to go take care of some business, and if it's not there, you are going to have some questions. I don't want you to be all drawn up in the face like somebody threw mud in your face when you get angry, ready to go down and confront somebody. I want you to know ahead of time. I want you to be an informed consumer so you'll know these things. Now, I know that Obama did a good thing when he gave the community extensions on their unemployment, as well as adding on additional food stamps for people who had never received food stamps. Those people are depending on those food stamps. And some people think all we want is just food stamps and a cell phone. But I have news for you. People live a better quality life. And I want to talk to you about the school system today, and how we can live a better quality life when we have input in our school system and when we decide to develop our own institutions. I want to talk to you from the perspective of the Eightfold Path, because some of us don't realize when we look at concepts from any denomination, from any religion, don't go thinking that you have to give up your own if you want to embrace other people's concepts. I told you that I embraced many different concepts. I'm salubrious diversity, meaning I can embrace African spiritualism today, Islam tomorrow, Buddhist the next month, because they are open, and these are concepts that we can use, and where we find concepts that are fitting for us, we need to use them. And I'm going to be talking about the Eightfold Path from the Buddhist concept. And that is from the Buddha, who is not a spiritual entity. He is not a god. He is a concept, and he wanted us to understand that. And in the Eightfold Path, he talks about you not having to worry about rules, because rules will govern you to the point where you have no free will. Now, I want us to use our free will. When you become of age and become an adult, free will is very important. And if we had rules restraining us, then we would not be able to use our free will. And we are free will agents, ladies and gentlemen, and you should know that. Now, what does that mean exactly? A free will agent, someone that can take the truth and make a decision on that truth. Someone who can choose to go down the straight and narrow, or someone who opts to go down the wide and broad. Now, I want to tell you, rules are not put here to restrain you, but rules from government agencies are put here supposedly to protect us. Now, when you come an age to a point of understanding, the reason why you don't do a certain thing is not because you're afraid of the rule that binds you, it's because of the consequences and repercussions that you might have to engage in later. Now, we've made a drastic, drastic mistake, and I include it in handing our children over to the system without questioning the concept and the methodology and curriculum that will be used with our children. We have not questioned the curriculum. We didn't even see if they were including African-centristic information in the curriculum. We walked in, and because this is a special private school and this is a gifted and talented program, my children will be rubbing arms with the elite. I don't care where it's coming from. That's a concept that we have in mind, and sometimes we usually say. We think going on the other side is always better. Sometimes less can be better. Now, we fought and fought back during the civil rights movement to integrate. We fought. We walked away from our businesses, our schools, our little schoolhouses with one classroom. We walked away from that, thinking that we were embracing something better. Now, look. Take a look around you at our school systems all over the inner city. Take a look. Now, just stop and think. What is going on in the inner city school system? You can just about mimic in all of the basic four urban cities, the same thing is going on. Children are wanting to drop out of school. They do not want to participate in the curriculum. Why? Someone tell me why. Get on that phone and call me right now, 646-478-0270. Our chat rooms are open now. Tell me why our children do not want to be there. Tell me why our children cannot see themselves in the curriculum. The main thing we have to understand, parents and family and tribe, we have to implement an African-centristic curriculum, one that is conducive for learning for our African children. Why, you say, Omi, why? Because they are black, and because they require a different formula than other children require. They must know of their great history. They must know of their burnt-skinned people and their ancestors that came from the Nubian tribe. They must know. You must tell them of their greatness, of the ancient people. Yes, the Egyptians are our ancestors. Don't make a mistake about it, parents. And don't let some preacher tell you, don't let the Egyptians teach your children. You are Egyptian. And don't let some school tell you that you weren't a part of the Kemetic Institute and you didn't build those pyramids. Your ancestors built them, and you were in their loins. You weren't born yet, but you were part of that tribe. So your children have a great history, you say, Omi. Yes, they do. They have a great history, and it ought to be taught in the schools. Now, not just Kwanzaa. I bring Kwanzaa here to give you a taste of what they should have. In my classroom was heavily concentrated for African Americans. I taught in an all-African American setting. But to tell you, when I first got out of school, I didn't have one black child for almost 10 years of my teaching. I felt like I was throwing myself away, giving the best of my years to some other child outside of my race. Nevertheless, I had a chance to learn about what is required for African American children, and I also found out what was required for Eurocentric children as well. I knew exactly what our African children needed, I thought. But people, I had to go back to school and learn what it is that our black children needed, but it wasn't in the training centers. It wasn't there. It was in the heart of the ghetto that I got the hard knock teachings of understanding what an urban city child needed. That's right. I was handing that child a Eurocentric curriculum, and they didn't want it. As a matter of fact, Chicago School District out in Waukegan School District, bless Mr. Head's heart, he decided he was done with the situation, that he was not going to force African American children to learn about slavery anymore. So he contracted me and asked me to come in and teach about Egyptology and about the ancient period when our people were once kings and queens. That was the best thing I could have did with my education when I went to Waukegan School District and was able to teach about the kings and queens. The children's eyes lit up. They became astute. They went from D students to A students. Their talk changed. their walk changed, their attitudes changed, their behavior changed. They wanted to know more. They stayed after school. They participated in plays and dramas and acts, and they also participated in recreating the Nile, creating the pyramid tombs. They participated because it was about their ancestors. They bought into the education, and I didn't have to make them learn. I didn't even have to bribe them to get A's. They wanted to get A's because this was their tradition. This was their heritage. They wanted to know. When you put an African-centristic curriculum before a black child, he automatically desires to be a part of that. Welcome to the chat room, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me. And make yourself at home. I wish I had a piece of sweet potato pie to offer you and some eggnog, but right now Omi is in the classroom. So I beg your pardon. Help yourself and enjoy yourself. And if you'd like to speak, go ahead and call at 646-478-0270 or write your comments so I can see them. I do thank you for being a part of our room. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the education system and where we went wrong. Now, we're coming up on this new millennium. They're talking about not insuring our bank with monies that we put in there. They're talking about dumping our pensions, and we are not even thinking about the concept. They've already done away with our schools, eliminated our classroom, and we still haven't gotten tight in the jaws about the situation. Now, you know, back in the 60s, people always said, not now, later. But our people got tired one day, and Rosa Parks got tired one day and said, if not now, then never. She took a turn where she sat down and made her decision. We are still taking every inch of these changes, and we are not asking the question about what can we do about it. Were there groups of people out there trying to do something about getting their pension back? I don't know how successful they'll be, because right now money is tight in the White House, it's tight in the federal government, it's tight in the county, it's tight in the state. But you know what? What is not tight, we're going to make it uptight, all right, and clean out of sight. Because, see, right now, we have the ability to make ourselves an institution and to train our children. One day, I got very tired. I got tired of people going after my boys, trying to identify them with the tag for special ed. And thank be to God that I stood my ground, and I went to those schools, and I stayed in their faces, and I stepped up and told them, no child of mine will be tested by you. If I see fit to test them, I'll find my psychiatrist on my own, and I do not need your list. And that's what you ought to be telling them. Because once they test your children, they're looking for a bad gene. I want to tell you that up front. And once they test them, they want to label them so they can get those extra dollars for labeling them. Don't let them label your children. Don't let them label them. Your child's not ADD. Don't let them fool you like that. Some children are being misdiagnosed. They've never even done an EEG. Before you can have a final diagnosis of attention deficit disorder, you must have an EEG. And if not, those doctors cannot diagnose those children over the phone. And if you are letting them put labels on your children over the phone without actually seeing the child in person, then you're wrong, mother. You got to stop it. You got to come to your senses and say, when I put this child in your care, there was nothing wrong with them. Now, let me tell you my story. For over 18 years, as I watched these people in the school system, and I'm part of the school system, so I'm not talking about something I heard, something I think I know. I'm telling you something firsthand that I do know. I watched them while I was right in the system, trying to take my child from up under me to see if they could get extra funds for him. When I put my foot down and I said, if I have to move this child out of the district, you will not test him. Did I fight the system? Yes, I did. but I had my parents with me, and we fought together. Right there in Chicago, we created a mandate for Schaumburg School District that all teachers would have to be sensitized to working with black children, especially black boys. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you, when something's not right, you have to go to the White House. You have to lobby, you have to march, and you have to change laws and create bills, and you have to suggest that our black boys have a different type of teaching. Now, the two boys that I'm talking to you about right now, I'm not telling you what I heard. I took those boys out of school, and I homeschooled them, and my husband and I taught together, and we put those children on a path where they were reading two grade levels higher than their regular grade. And when we put them back in school, they were advanced. So we knew what they could do. So it wasn't nothing they was going to tell us about our child's academic ability. We had already assessed them and tested them. So we knew what reading grade level they were at and which areas they were slow in. We knew those areas. But fortunately, when you bump up the child's reading, and that's what this room is about, Care to Read. If you didn't read the advertisement, do you care to read? Start your children to reading. Put them in advanced books. It will advance them in every area. So when we put these children back in school, one of my children was up for the presidency award right in Europe. His reading level was so high that they wanted to advance him. I said, no, leave him right where he is because he socially needs to adjust. But at the same time, he soared through high school on the high honor roll, graduating on the honor roll. Now, when he went to college, yes, you're going to have children that struggle, but the main thing is you stay behind them, and you push them, and you help them, mother, and you become the first teacher. I never taught so much school until I started teaching here in my own. I thought I would be the little schoolhouse. As a matter of fact, if I could turn my living room into a little schoolhouse, I would start school and teach school right in my living room because I feel that I could do a better job there than being up under the system. The system hindered me. The system prevented me from even teaching reading, and it wasn't allowing me to go to the height of my zenith to be able to teach and make children into geniuses. But I did that anyway at home. The homeschool that I had at home, there were white children that were asking to enroll in my homeschool because they saw how advanced my youngest son was. They wanted to be a part of it. So I enrolled him, and I taught the little white boy the same way I taught William. His mother was amazed at the information that I was teaching and at the level of advancement I was giving. So when her child got back in school, he was advanced too. Mothers, you can make your children into geniuses. I want to tell you that. You can make them into computer loves and give them technology skill by bringing analysts to your home to show them one-on-one how to break down a computer and how to become a technician. I know you can because I created a son like that. Now, my oldest son was astute in technology because he saw it in the home. He first experienced it in the home, computer graphics. Now, I'm telling you, mother, you can make your children into geniuses. And if they're not doing well in these broken-down, dilapidated schools where they're not getting learning and they hate to go, then you make a decision, mother. You be the first teacher. I told you before that you were the first teacher. Now, if you want to be the first teacher and want to homeschool, call me up. I can tell you how to do it. Email me. I can show you how to get on the path of putting your children in homeschool. As a homeschool specialist, those homeschool programs, don't go trying to put your child in homeschool and using your own curriculum. Align that child to a program and sign them up so you can get a real report card so your child doesn't spend time in school and have no grades to show for it. Now, the schools are failing. As you see, the banks are failing. Our pensions are failing. Things are collapsing. And the Mayan calendar said they would. They said that it was ending and that something new was going to come on the scene. Well, something new is here, ladies and gentlemen. Your homeschool, your living room school, your one-house schoolhouse, they're here. And some of you are so doggone tired and sick and tired of your child failing in school, and you're so mad about what's happened that you don't know what to do. A mother can't think in her job when her child's not doing so well. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I know. A mother cannot advance herself in her job when her child is not being treated right at school and he's not been treated fairly. I know. So, mothers, you first have got to understand your first responsibility is to be a parent and to be in the home teaching. Your first responsibility, then your line of command and working. It is your husband's responsibility to work and take care of you to the sweat of his brows. You are the mother. When those children start getting out of hand and they end up being taken from you, your fault is on you, mother, because you know what? You are the first nation, and you want to raise that child up. So you go back and get that child and raise him. And stop letting the system take your children. Stop throwing your children away and giving them to somebody who's getting money for them. Our system is overloaded with foster care. In working with maltreated infants as a specialty, children are grieving, and they're being placed in these homes where they don't want to be, and they're not getting proper care. And you've got people that are taking them on just for the money. But you've got to love your children enough to go and get your children and sit down. I don't care how slow your child is. I don't care how that child is acting out. He's yours. He's yours. So straighten them out. Don't throw them over to the system. Because when you throw them over to the system, they're not only going to straighten your child out, they're going to put him on some medicine to sedate him when he's not feeling very good and he's grieving over you. When they see that he's failing to thrive, they're going to put him on some Ritalin. They're going to put him on some barbiturates, and your child won't know you. Now, this system has gone too damn far. We got children that are stockpiling the courtrooms in every major city. And some of these states are utilizing this foster care system to manage their counties because it brings in money. This is a money-making thing. It's not about how well I love your child, because these people can't possibly love your child. They don't know them. And anybody that walks in the room ready to take on 5 and 10 foster care children, they're collecting the money. It's not about the love. Now, mothers, you don't know what it's like to have a child that's pulled away from you. If you love that child, then you have to first think about that child. Stay out of these streets. Stop putting all the attention on yourself, thinking that you can go out and address your needs. You got to address your children's needs. This is a care to read room, and I'm a parent first. And most of all, I'm a parent first, and that's one thing I'm proud of. I go the distance for my children, and everybody knows that. And I feel like you never release your children. Your children are always welcome to come back home. I don't care what they did, parents, and you stop locking your children out. This is not a time when you should lock your children out, because children are living up under the bridges. They're living on the highways. They're prostituting themselves because you won't be a parent. I'm warning you, parent. If you got children in the foster system, get yourself together and go get your children and start training them and teaching them at home. And stop giving them over to the system. The new high technology slave ship is in the courtroom now. And our children are waiting there, waiting for somebody to come and swipe them off the courtroom agenda for their own good. And you don't know what's happening to your children in these homes. And then when they come back home, mother, you've got to work with them. Let me say something to you, mother. You might not have but a third-grade education, but God will help you. He will show you how to teach that child. You might not have the patience of Job, but God will give you the patience when you see the light bulb come on in your child's eye. And I want to tell you something, parents. We've been talking about Kwanzaa in this room, and the reason why I've been bringing up Kwanzaa is because I want you to get some concept and some positive things to put in your children. We talked about Kuumba, creativity. We talked about unity, Ujamaa. We talked about Kujichajilia, the ability to define for ourselves. And parents, I want you to be up on what's going on. Your children are no fools. they can teach themselves. They are little adults. When they get to be 12 years old, yes, they are like African children. They are grown. So you must understand they see things in the classroom that are not right. And when they see things that are not right, they don't want to go back in that schoolhouse anymore. But see, you're pushing them, saying you got to go to school. You have to change that around. You go to school and find out what's happening in these cruel houses. Find out how people are treating them, snatching on them, calling them out of their name, and even putting their hands on your children. I refuse to do it. I told them I would not put my hand on anyone's child here. Okay, so you won't spank them, will you? No, I won't. See, and then you get parents that decide they want to come up and take a visit in the room, and they will let you know, I've written statements that I do not want anyone to whip my children. And teachers have no business whooping anyone's child. Let the parent come to school to whip their own child. Now, we don't always have to whip our children. We can talk to our children, and we can bend them with the bow. We can bend them with the word of God. Some children are led and reproved by the Spirit. Send the Spirit after them. But don't go beat the child up so the social services will take them away. Keep your hand off those children, and God told me to tell you so. Because when you beat that child down and weaken that child don't want to be in your home no more. You got to stop putting your hands on, and don't be beating them like they're a dog. And keep your hands off those babies. Those little innocent babies ending up in the social services. We've got to turn this around. What is wrong with us black people? We used to love children. Now, let me say this much to you. I've decided to retire early because I wanted to work with the parent, because the real work starts in the home. And don't go telling me it takes a village to raise up a child. No, it don't. It takes a parent. And somebody got to raise up a parent because ain't nobody at home in the village. How are you going to raise a child up when there's nobody home in the village? Now, we're talking about a tribe. I came from a tribe of 18 children. Every one of us raised right. 7 of us going off to college. And anybody that knew us in the block knew that we were raised right. There were other people bringing their children to our house trying to be raised by our parents. Because when you bring a large group of children together, you can delegate and you can train those children. We were well trained. And I don't tell me that you got 2 or 3 children and you don't know what to do. Take some parenting classes. Get enrolled in these parenting classes, mother. Get enrolled in these parenting classes. If you go online to Luxart Institute for Family Education, I have a website there for parents and tons of free things that you can use. Go online, Luxor Institute for Family Education, Weebly.com. Go online and get the reading material and start utilizing it. I'm writing some material right now to help African-American parents make their children into genius. That's right, making your children into A and B students. I did it. I know. And being a summa cum laude myself, I realized I wasn't smart. I just had wisdom. And you got wisdom. And you don't have to be smart. And children these days don't want the title of being smart. But show them how to study. Show them how to learn and how to creed. But most of all, show them how to love their black self. Show them how to love the God within them. They can't love nobody else any better than they love the God that takes up residency in them. And tell them they're God. By all means, tell them they're God. And tell them that they don't want to ingest anything that will be harmful to this God that resides inside. Raise them up like a God. And train them like they're grown folks. And let them know that you believe in them. And tell them you believe in them. Show up at their events. Go to their school. Support them, parents. Stay out of these clubs and go support your children. And women, you are just wasting too much time on yourselves, dressing up. If you got the glory of God on you, don't you know the man will see it? You don't have to spend 9 and 10 hours in the club and then spending all your money and time outside of the home. Put your time in the home. Your children will raise up and call you glory. One day your children will raise up and call you glory and then deify you. Because they'll say, my mother was everything to me. My mother was my all in all. My children are my best friend. We are bosom buddies. We are down like that. Because, see, whatever is hurting my children is hurting me. And you better believe if they go into the courtroom, mama's up in the courtroom. And you better not do nothing wrong to them because mother's eyes are always watching. And you know what, mother? They're taking our children off the prison. But half of you don't show up in these courtrooms. If they get a traffic ticket, if they get a false ticket of a DWI, you better show up. I show up, and sometimes I have to show out. But you're not going to keep me out of these courtrooms when what concerns me and my children, I'm going to be there. And you know what? They're not going to stop because they feel that they can take your children and work them like slaves in these penal institutions. The children are not always wrong, mother. And they're going to say, he don't have to do that time because I ain't going to mortgage my house. You better mortgage your house and whatever else you have to do to keep them out of that hell hole. And you better stand beside them. And you better pray for him. And you better show him how to pray. Take your time, mother, and put your children on their knees and show them how to pray. And most of all, show them how to get the ear of the king and show them that they're God's and show them that God will meet them halfway if they need God. But most of all, you have got to put the fear of love in that child, not the fear of God. Tell them that God loved them. He first loved them and tell them that they are God and they must love themselves. And don't go fooling your children, telling them that Santa Claus brought them anything. Because Santa Claus don't live here, and he don't pay no bills here. And don't go giving Santa Claus credit for nothing. You take the credit, mother, and you let them know mother worked hard to get this stuff, and mother put up money that she didn't even have. Don't go giving a blue-eyed white man no credit for what you're doing. It's bad enough we got Jesus on the wall and he's blue-eyed with blonde hair and you're giving him the credit. Give the credit where it's due. And stop telling fairy tales to your children. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth and stop letting them read all these nursery rhymes. Tell them that that never happened. No dish ran away with the spoon. Tell them the reality. They're grown folks and they need to know the truth. We're up on hard times now. These children may have to take care of you, mother, and you don't have time to let them sit and play. Our children have sit and played enough when they come to school. Let them start learning. And don't let these daycares and preschools tell you, well, we want the child to learn how to socialize, and you don't need to learn how to read. They do need to learn how to read. And parents, you teach them how to read. You be the first teacher. Go home, get material, and go to the library and teach your children how to read. They're winners. Those children will learn to read. If you love them enough, they'll learn to do anything you ask them. I know, because in my 33 years of teaching children, there wasn't a child that I did not love or a child that I couldn't teach. Every child I worked with, I won that child over with love. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Draw your children with loving kindness. And don't go talking down on them. And don't go beating them down, because they're being beat up by the system enough. And I'm telling you, that you cannot just use Kwanzaa. You've got to use curriculum in your home that is conducive to black children. And you've got to explain to them, black boys, every time you leave this home, there's a code of conduct. You must know whenever you're picked up by the police, you make a phone call, you don't say anything. You call and get your lawyer to speak for you because what you say may incriminate you. And most of all, when you get in these prisons, you tell your young boys that there is some relief for them, and mother is going to find it through a lawyer. And if need be, families, y'all come together, put your money in, and pay for a good lawyer. Don't go saying, well, they're going to give you a lawyer. How is it they can give you a lawyer when the DA is against you and the public defender they give you is against you, too? He works for the DA, so you have no help. And don't go giving your children over to the system like that. You must understand that this is an institution that's making money. And our children cannot be the feeding ground. They're the feeding ground in the school system. Now they're feeding ground in the penal institution. And we're not getting damn mad about it. We should be. We should be damn mad about it. Our institutions have failed us. They have collapsed. And we must do something about it. Unite yourself together, parents. create a homeschool in a home where three or four mothers group together. And if you need me, call me. I'm the master teacher. And that's right, I will get a child to learn to read because I know that's my specialty. I went back to school to get a postgraduate degree to learn better. Me too. I had to learn better to know how to teach reading because all teachers don't learn to teach reading. But that was one area I knew I could teach in. There has not been a child that I have not been able to teach how to phonetically blend and break words down. You can do it too, Mother. Yes, you can. You can form that schoolhouse in your living room. Take in your own children. Set up your preschools and set up your Montessori schools because they're needed now more than ever before because our systems have failed us. But we are still winners, ladies and gentlemen. We are winners, and we can do it. I know we're winners.
Y'all ready?
Are y'all ready?
Say yes!